Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
There was supposed to have been some kind of conflict.
Yep, that's...
My understanding was...
It was an ideological conflict, I would say.
Right, and my understanding was there was a protest that I presume probably got a permit... wind up, you know, having their gathering outside of the state house to advocate for let's take away guns.
I'm glad you brought it right
and
there.
And then the 420 rally people, they never get a permit.
Correct.
They just show up.
Yeah, if you get a permit, you're doing it wrong, as far as I'm concerned. If you're doing protests or outreach or whatever it is you want to call it, because it's both.
Right.
You're doing it wrong if you go and ask for permission. If you have a freedom of speech... You have to act like it, in my opinion. And so, yeah, the 420s
have... some people get a permit is because they want to make sure that nobody... No, it's not necessarily that. It's they want to make sure that they have exclusive use of the area.
Of their space.
And we don't want counter-demonstrators showing up in our space.
Well, so they can't control that.
This is actually the first time since the thing they called decrim went into effect that there's been a 420 rally at the state house. So I wonder if, you know, maybe the cop... You know, you said made some kind of threat to somebody.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was
threatened a crowd. He came
down
into the
crowd. Allowed to smoke in public because they can't really do anything about somebody with a joint.
No, they can. They can ticket that person. I mean, that cop could have just handed out a bunch of tickets to people. And, of course, I gave a speech later on talking about don't take a plea deal saying,
right.
Hey, you know, if you guys actually get busted, if you get this $100 ticket, don't just be like, well, it's just $100 now and cut them a check. Make it hard for them to collect that $100. Because in Massachusetts, what happened was when they did a decriminalization there, they didn't put some sort of enforcement mechanism, I guess, that they were supposed to have in the law. And somebody figured it out and they just decided they weren't going to pay the $100 fine in Massachusetts. And word started to spread around. Like, oh, if you don't pay the $100 fine, they don't prosecute you. And so I said, well, we can do this here. Even if they didn't leave that provision out in New Hampshire, we can do this here. If everybody who gets popped, and it doesn't even have to be everybody, 10% of them, who get popped with a ticket for the new decriminalized marijuana for the $100 ticket, just refuse to pay that, go to trial, make them get their conviction, eventually they're going to start dropping those cases. It'll be interesting to see how the statistics end up shaking out after a year or two of so-called decrim here in New Hampshire, if we don't actually see it legalized soon, which it doesn't look like that's on the immediate horizon, with a governor who has pledged to veto any kind of legalization plans. But to the guy's credit, at least he signed the decrim that the previous governor refused to sign.
It's also going to be interesting to see if he winds up signing the expanded ATC distribution, ATC being the authorized treatment centers.
Right. So there's only four of them in New Hampshire, and that's not enough. I mean, that's ridiculous.
And there was a bill, I believe I had told you about, that wound up having a hearing recently to wind up allowing a couple of the treatment centers to open satellite facilities.
Yep.
That wound up passing.
Both the House and the Senate?
Yes.
Okay.
So what's the problem?
So it's on his desk. Then.
What's the problem with them?
Well,
opening...
it's not on his desk right now. Like,
but
there's
it will
a
be.
Process. Yes.
What's the problem with them opening up more? Is it something the law is preventing more from
the
being
law
opened up?
Says
or...
there are four.
Okay.
And the law specifies the geographic regions that the four are to be
Which
set in.
Either comes from the idea of let's protect the few buddies of ours who end up getting permission to sell medical marijuana, or we're afraid of marijuana and we can't let it out there. That's the excuse that they'll like
give.
So, wait, are we talking about medical
dispensaries?
Or are we talking about
medical dispensaries?
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought we were talking about
alternative treatment centers.
Alternative treatment centers.
A guy named Brian Korber, who I suspect also doesn't live in New Hampshire, on a website called Mashable.com. I was just kind of looking online like, all right, well, what's the news about 420 today? Because obviously events like this were going on across the United States and maybe even across the world. Now, how many of them actually do it, you know, basically on the front steps of the state house? I suspect some do, and in some states, you know, they don't. But this was one of the top stories that came up, and it's an opinion piece that is entitled, We Need to Stop Celebrating 420. And he puts celebrating in quotes. Stop celebrating 420. Here's why. Are you ready for this?
All right.
Today,
go for it.
This is Brian Korber writing at Mashable. Today is April 20th, affectionately known by many as 420. It's the unofficial day for celebrating all things weed, but it's 2018, and it's time to take a step back.
I know. We need to celebrate July 10th because it doesn't have the stigma around it.
No, he's saying stop celebrating. Take a step back from the haze of smoke and realize that 420 has become a bad internet holiday, even worse than April's Fool's Day.
Worse than Taco Tuesday? I've not read this article from Mashable, but I'm guessing he's probably saying something along the lines of, well, right now, one in five Americans live in a state where they can legally buy cannabis, so the war on drugs is basically over.
Yeah. So just settle down, put on a suit, and if you can't put on a suit, stay home. So let me get to the story here. Brian Korber writes... He's talking about 420 and, you know, how popular it is, and says it's a bad internet holiday. He says brands that would have once fired someone for testing positive for THC now tweet funny jokes about the munchies. People demonstrate by toking up in public. Cannabis companies push their products, and media companies fire off any number of pot-related articles to get that sweet, sweet weed traffic. He says it's time to stop. The concept of 420 was good. At a time when pot was a taboo counterculture. But at this late date, the holiday shows cannabis culture at its worst. Now, when you were there, Chris, I mean, this is a part of culture that you're at the best on the periphery of, right? Like you come to this event, but you probably don't know intimately. You haven't been around a lot of cannabis smoking. I'm speculating. Am I completely wrong or right about that? Because you yourself have not used cannabis, if I'm not mistaken.
I'll refrain from answering that question.
Fair enough.
But I'm not a smoker.
The hardcore stoners, and I am going to stereotype here. The hardcore stoners, they're too busy smoking weed on their couch to remember, there was that thing at the Capitol today.
I kind of feel like there weren't really that many hardcore stoners at the protest.
There were definitely stoners at the protest. The hardcore stoners
will go to a cannabis festival, but they're not going to one of these rallies.
I think you're probably right about that. But that is to say...
I mean, what do you think? What percentage do you think were hardcore stoners there?
I would say probably the majority of that crowd is there are regular users of
cannabis.
Regular users and hardcore stoners are not the same thing.
So when I think of hardcore stoner, I think of somebody smoking up every day.
Yeah, that's
all
what I'm talking about.
All day, every day.
Okay.
Okay, now that's a difference, right? Doing it every day versus all day every day is different. So you consider a stoner to be somebody who's every day. You say it's all day every day.
Like the people that their life is
revolves around it. Yeah.
Oh, I've not smoked in 20 minutes. I got to go hit that joint.
That would be an interesting
question. That's a hardcore stoner.
That would be an interesting question to ask at an event like that.
And then something else, because everybody kind of has their own definition of stoner. So if you ask the people at the event, do you consider yourself a stoner? You might wind up getting a completely different...
Right. And how would they define stoner?
I actually had a conversation with a former city councilor who he explained to me how it is that, you know, like... those people wound up, preventing some kind of something allegedly. So back in 2009, the City Council of Keene passed a resolution to write a letter to the state house saying,
I remember this.
We think that you should reexamine cannabis laws and maybe consider, I don't know, removing some of the penalties or making it legal or something. And then the 420 rallies happened, and then the city council...
Was it in that order?
Yes.
Okay.
And then the city council then very quietly voted to reconsider the sending of the letter and voted to never send the letter. And I found that out because I asked... The specific question I asked was, hey, didn't the city council like send a letter to the state house a few years ago? And he was like... Oh, no, we voted to, but then your people went out and they smoked the weed in the public.
That would have done
something. And then we wound up voting to not send the letter.
As though their letter would have done anything. He says, of all the many things that irk me about 420, brands on the internet are the worst. Oh, the brands. Cannabis companies attempt to cash in with gift guides and listicles. I don't know what that one is, if you guys want to check that one out. Listicles. And there's and then there's the barrage of lame Twitter jokes from companies who've turned from being terrified of being associated with weed to half-assedly embracing it for one day. Last year, even a police department attempted to get in on the festivities, and I'll share that with you.
A listicle is a piece of writing or other content presented wholly or partially in the form of a list. So it's like an article.
Okay, gotcha.
But it's a list.
These are the top 10 things about marijuana.
Clickbait.
Kind of
yeah, okay. 5 ways to get rid of clickbait.
I see.
Find out here.
Yeah.
Number 4 will shock you.
Yeah. He says, I understand. Oh, by the way, the police department that he's talking about here, Wyoming PD, April 20th, 2017. There's a picture, looks like taken at like a, you know, some kind of public park. There's picnic tables. A cop with a net. Like one of those big butterfly nets.
Right.
And then under the, you know, like under the overhang of the park, there's a few bags of Doritos, Cheetos, and a couple video games. And the tagline here on Twitter from the Wyoming, this is Wyoming, Minnesota Police Department, says, undercover 420 operations are in place. Discreet traps have been set up throughout the city today. # happy 420. You were there today, and that wasn't your first 420 either in Concord, correct? In New Hampshire?
No, I went last year, and I met a lot of wonderful people, and I saw Derek J was there.
Would you say that it's disreputable, or as this guy says in his article, cannabis, it shows cannabis culture at its worst?
Yeah, well, he's sadly mistaken, that's for sure.
Yeah, so what were you calling about tonight? What did you want to comment on?
Well, you know, when we first got there, I was out of our group, was one of the first ones to get up to where the event was going on. And I noticed that the state police were doing a lot of yelling and, you know, doing some, I don't know if it was with Rich Paul or not, but anybody know what that was about?
Yeah, we're going to find out soon because Garrett Ian, who's one of the bloggers, Free Concord, Free Keen, he was there with his camera, and he did capture that. That was as we were pulling up, that was going down, where some state cop came out and apparently threatened a crowd of people.
I saw the cop. I just didn't hear it.
And did nothing at all. Walked away.
I had to actually go up and ask somebody what he was at, what was going on.
I've got an article here from the Burlington Free Press where they basically give a rundown of what is going to wind up happening. Adults over the age of 21.
Oh, man. Those poor 18, 19, and 20
year olds.
You know
what I never understood about this is why we're punishing kids like more for something that is legal.
They're not kids. They're legal adults, right?
Okay, right. I'm sorry. Yeah. People of under a certain age more. It's like, is it somehow worse? Like, you would think you'd be punishing them less. Because
we've got to regulate it like wine and alcohol, and you can't buy alcohol until you're 21.
If somebody who's younger, like, commits murder or some other crime, usually they get charged as a juvenile and they get less punishment, right?
No, if you kill somebody and you're 14, you're getting charged as an adult.
All right, fine. Some other crime. But I didn't say 14. I said as a kid. So if you're like 8 or 9 or whatever, right? So, but anyway, it doesn't really have to be that. Okay, let's pick something else, right? They usually get charged and the sentence is less. Like they get
because they're
released.
A kid.
Right.
Well, it
so
depends
why
on what it is. If it's a felony, they're probably, if they can prove that you are mentally competent,
but generally,
they will charge you as an adult.
Generalities.
Yeah, generally,
right?
Though.
I mean, they get less of a sentence. They get released to the parents, whatever. Okay. But when it comes to marijuana, they're going to get charged where an adult, it's not even illegal for the adult.
It's insane. Or they could go across the border to Canada where they can easily buy alcohol at age 18. Daryl, you were just reading to us during the break there some of the penalties for having or giving marijuana to others in the state of Vermont that just legalized recreational possession.
Yes, and I...
So it's not even done there yet.
Exactly where I was in here, but possession of over an ounce has a penalty for the first time you're caught.
Of jail.
Possible imprisonment.
Yeah. Right.
And a fine. I believe the fine was $500. You could also wind up avoiding the fine by going to some court diversion program. They are not going to allow for retail sales,
right?
Although
so if you're selling,
the law does allow for gifts And the article from the Burlington Free Press mentions that some states, and we talked about in Maine, where we're just charging you a delivery fee.
Right.
To where, you know, police might look at that as suspicious in Vermont, and who knows how they're going to wind up handling that.
Penalties for giving it to an underage person.
Right.
There's all this prohibitionism that still sort of surrounds marijuana. Ooh, you still need to be afraid. It's very dangerous. And I'm not saying that there aren't people who've had bad times. It's a drug. You know, there are people who have different opinions and different experiences and different body chemistry and all that. But for the most part, it is considered one of the safest of drugs out there as far as it's widely used and widely safely used by the people who use it.
Right.
And
let's jump to one of the questions on this quiz, and this deals with medical cannabis.
Okay.
According to the NCIA's latest tally from March of this year, how many states have some form of medical cannabis with THC? And that's very important because there are some states that allow only for CBD. So how many states allow for medical cannabis that has THC?
26. What's your guess, Chris?
I have no idea, actually.
29.
Ooh, more than I thought. All right.
Yes.
That's good to know.
Yeah, and then when you add in the CBD states, I believe it's 42. Speaking of regulations, the first national regulation was the Marijuana Tax Act.
Ugh,
marijuana
boo.
Spelled with an H, by the way. Two-part question. In what year was the legislation passed, and when was it deemed unconstitutional?
1937 was when it was passed, and it was never deemed unconstitutional. It's still in play today. What do you think, Chris?
Wow. I definitely would say the 1930s. I didn't know the exact year. I didn't recall it. That's pretty good if that's an exact year that you got
there. It was 1937, and the enforcement of it was deemed unconstitutional in 1969.
Wait. Then how is it that we still have it?
The Tax Act? The magic of government, I guess.
Then
they wrote up the schedules or something and had themselves a war on drugs, right?
They came up with the scheduling, the Tax Act, because in order to buy the tax stamp, you had to admit to possessing something that was deemed illegal, and that was ruled a violation of the Fifth Amendment.
So it was around that time when they came out with the schedules,
1970.
Right? Yeah, so basically what they did was they ruled that unconstitutional and then came up with a workaround.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then the workaround also included Richard Nixon telling all of the states, you need to adopt these similar laws.
Let's say there was some small-time drug dealer, right? And he had a relationship with some teller at the bank.
Right.
He comes up to the teller window, and he has, $5,000 in $20 bills. And he wants to trade those in for, $100 bills. Well, in that case, they would need to fill out a suspicious activity report, especially if that was out of his, normal practices.
Mm-hmm.
And if the teller or, the person that worked there did not do that, that would be money laundering. They'd be convicted of assisting in money laundering.
So changing bills from one denomination to another is suspicious activity? That's interesting.
Especially from small to large.
Yeah.
Especially from small to large. Absolutely.
I have to ask, how is that, concealment of anything?
Well, that's not concealment of anything, but it's suspicious activity report, and that's used as, if these things are filled out, that's used as evidence against a person
and I know how obscene is not the right word, insane it is, but
it's also obscene.
Well, let's say the police were watching this person. They watch him walk into the bank.
Yep.
They approach the bank about the cameras. They get the cameras of the teller conducting this transaction, and no report was filled out. And it was, he was caught with drugs.
Then that teller's in trouble.
That teller is, absolutely. Especially if they could, identify a relationship between them. Chris, I have read a couple of articles about basically vault services, for lack of a better word. I mean, they're not banks. They're almost like it's an armored car and a safe.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many inefficiencies with cash out there that it is a huge burden on these businesses to have to do that. And so you could see why they would want banking services to conduct their credit card processing and their payroll. I mean, think about the way that the money flows, right? So somebody comes in, they have to go over to an ATM, They have to put their card in. There's a line at the ATM. They type in a four-digit PIN. I mean, you know, how many minutes does that take? Then they bring the cash over to the counter.
Right.
They have to count that out. They have to put it in the register. Then somebody comes and grabs that cash out of the register, puts it in a vault at the back, has to count it, bundle it up, fill out some paperwork to give it to the vault company, you know. And then with the payroll, it's not like you with a W-2 employee that you can just not withhold. If that employee elects to, you know, withhold a certain amount out of their paycheck, you have to honor that. The W-9 form that you fill out, you know, when you get a job. I know you guys probably don't know much about that. You haven't had a W-2 job in a while.
I haven't had a job in 14 years. You got video footage of state representatives
smoking up.
Yep. Openly smoking cannabis. And maybe there are people out there that that's surprising for. But here, it's a regular thing. It's been happening
for years. They've been smoking up for years. At least the last two or three that I've been to.
Right.
I've got video from each year of these Congress critters smoking dope.
The New Hampshire ones.
In New Hampshire. Yeah. And I don't know if you'll find that anywhere else, but in New Hampshire, you'll find it.
Yeah, oh, come on. There's got to. I'd love
Colorado.
To, yeah. I'd love to believe it was just New Hampshire, but I'm sure this happens in other places. Because it's not that brave a person, right? Like, politicians, they're not exactly the most brave people.
Until fairly recently, politicians wouldn't even admit to it, let alone in many cases.
I agree with you. That's true for most of them.
6 years ago, Bill Clinton was on some show and asked, I did not inhale. Right. I smoked it, but I did not inhale.
Yeah. That's true. Times have changed.
Isn't that kind of the point, though?
Yeah.
Times have certainly changed
since
then.
And that was news at that time, wasn't it?
Right. Yeah, sure
that was.
Because
like,
nobody
news.
Bought it then either.
Right.
He was also asked the question, boxers or briefs?
Yeah, he went with boxers, right?
I don't remember.
About 61% of Americans support legalization as of late 2017, which is up from 31% in the year 2000. While many were concerned that Trump and Jeff I Hate Weed Sessions would kill states' rights to regulate cannabis themselves, it doesn't seem like that's going to happen, he says. A movement is growing before us, and celebrating 420 with smokeouts, drum circles, and marches no longer accurately reflect the culture of cannabis today. Though many areas in the United States are still way behind when it comes to the legal status of pot, we no longer need 420. In America, every day is 420. Well, and there's a little bit more here. No, it's not.
Doesn't make any sense to me.
And, well, this is one of the respectables, or somebody who might have been okay with this in the past, but now he's changed his mind, and he wants the cannabis movement to, as he says here in the next paragraph, pot's all grown up. Grow up! Hey, quit banging on that drum, you hippie! Go back inside, smoke some pot inside, but while us adults come over here to the state house.
It's not completely legal in anywhere?
I mean, it's certainly not legal to sell it without a permission slip in places like California, even where it's legal.
Right. It's still regulated.
Yeah, it's highly regulated.
So heavily regulated.
I mean, right. So how is this? Why should we stop?
I agree.
The boiling point of CBD is blank degrees Fahrenheit, which is slightly higher than the boiling point of THC, which boils at blank.
Ugh.
I will throw some numbers.
Yeah. Okay, so first one was CBD,
correct.
Higher than THC.
Right. So
two of the
CBD,
active chemicals. In
right. CBD boils at either 343, 356, 352, or 365.
Are you going to do them separately?
I'm doing these separately instead of throwing out eight numbers at you. And then you're getting confused about what goes with what.
I have no. I'm just going to pick one. 365.
I know how to use the 1 minute button on my microwave. Does that count?
No, it does not. 356. So you were just a little high.
Yeah, okay.
THC.
Just a little, Daryl.
Boils at 306, 315, 310, or 301 degrees Fahrenheit.
310. I just shot in the dark. That's
so
all.
You would burn your CBD, but not quite boil your THC. THC at 315.
Okay. All right.
If I want it, I'll buy it.
I want to add in what one of our chatters in the Discord has to say here. I turned into a Martian. Says this guy on Mashable is the equivalent of the Second Amendment activists who talk S on open carrier protests. So, you know, there's the people in all these different movements. Like, as you were saying, Daryl, some people just hate protests.
Right.
And they hate the way that it makes them look if they are associated with them, because the respectables don't like protests
those
either.
Those civil rights protesters that were doing sit-ins in diners just need to go the hell back home.
You know those people existed then, too. Absolutely. Even though they claim to be on their side. So yeah. That's what this is all about. He's got a few more thoughts here to wrap this up over at Mashable.com on why people should stop protesting. He says there's been a major push from industry professionals to make marijuana a lifestyle brand and break away from the lazy stoner college party culture it once represented. Walk into any good legal pot shop in Colorado, and you probably won't hear the words marijuana, pot, or weed. It's cannabis. And if you want to buy something to roll up a joint, that's flower. Look, I got no problem with people using different terms. But that's not what his main points are in this article. He's talking about the look. He's talking about the marijuana industry that sort of treats this as like a fun, you know, thing, and he wants it to be all respectabilized and everything. And he certainly doesn't like the hippies that are out there, as he mentioned earlier. But he says these subtle changes in the way we talk about cannabis may seem trivial, but the way the plant is presented to the masses matters.
I feel like it's the people who have come out who have made it acceptable. Like, if yes. It wasn't people going out there and protesting and smoking up in public, it wouldn't be acceptable. People who right. are, you know, bankers or doctors or lawyers or presidents of the United States wouldn't have been able to come out and say, yeah, I smoke pot.
Right. And the diversity is important. You know, there not everybody who smokes pot is a hippie, but those are people who smoke pot too. And they should, or cannabis, or they, you know, vaporize it or bake it or whatever. There's different right. ways that people use it. It's not all smoking. And then there's the medical crowd. And then there's, you know, there's all these different cultures, subcultures that use cannabis, all for their different reasons. There's the artists, there's the professionals, there's so many different things. For this guy to say, psh, you guys get back in there, artists, you go back in, all you people, you hippies, get back in there, you know, go back home, don't come out, don't show yourselves. What an insult. I mean, this is not somebody who is bringing anybody together. He's trying to divide people here, and because, come on. Not everybody's going to go along with what this guy's saying. So this is just him with, this is my opinion, and my opinion should be in charge. You guys need to go home. You're ruining it for us. Let me go on. He says, I'm not suggesting that cannabis culture should become boring or sterile. Okay, it sounded that way so far. He says, regardless of its medicinal benefits, getting stoned is fun. But the nature of 420 and what it's associated with no longer represents the reality. Any a-hole who wants to say he's a marijuana user and then cause a scene or, you know, throw some garbage on the ground or whatever can show up. I'm not saying I know whether or not people are or are not marijuana users. I certainly believe right. there are some trashy marijuana users out there, just in the same way there's trashy drunks.
Yeah, we know some.
There's no doubt about that. So I agree, you know, please pick up after yourself. But the hippie ethic is to leave a place cleaner than you found it. Anybody who's an actual hippie, the kind of person who would, as he describes it here, wear a drug rug, which is a type of clothing that you're more likely to see a hippie wearing than, you know, a businessman.
So what is a drug rug?
I'm not a stylist or whatever, so you'll have to Google that one. I've seen a drug rug. I can identify maybe if I see one, but it's a top, I'll tell you that. It's something that somebody wears over there.
Oh, okay. It's that weird hoodie sort of
is it hoodied? Okay,
thing.
I didn't remember if it had
yeah.
a hoodie.
Yeah, so it's you know,
it's a little thick
stripe.
My boyfriend, I think, has one.
Yeah,
there you go.
It's called a
Pork
Baja hoodie.
Yeah, so you know, hippies, they
I've
have a
I've never heard that called a drug rug.
Here in New Mexico, we had probably one of the first in the nation in 1976. It was in the latter part of the 70s. We had a thing called the Len Pearson Act. That the state funded the use of marijuana for people that had glaucoma.
Okay.
Anyway,
just for the people who have glaucoma?
It does go, I believe it was very specifically for glaucoma patients, but then they pulled the funding on it, and we just came back with medical marijuana 2-3 years ago.
So New Mexico does have medical?
Yes.
Okay.
We definitely do.
Okay. Good to know. Now, what's the legalization status down there? Is there anything brewing at all?
They're kicking it around in the legislature. They bring it up, and somebody usually tables it.
Yep.
I don't know. I think it's coming.
It's probably coming to almost every state at some point. Because at some point, these politicians are going to not want to leave the money on the table. They're going to finally realize that they're missing out on all this tax revenue.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.